Let's turn our Bibles to James chapter 1. Verse 17, James chapter 1, verse 17, we all read together. James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, no shadow of turning. Second scripture portion is from 2 Corinthians. 9th chapter. Second Corinthians 9th chapter, 15th verse. We'll all read it together. Thanks be unto God, for He is unspeakable. Yeah. May Lord bless this scripture portion. Let's look to the God for His help so that we may worship Him in truth and in spirit. Loving Heavenly Gracious Father, thank you, Lord, for this Lord's Day. Thank you, Lord, for your work of redemption in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for buying us when we are sold to sin, sold to slavery, Father. But you loved us and you have given yourself for us on the cross of Calvary. Thank you, Lord, for making us your family and your children and to call the Abba and Father. As we are gathered in your presence, Father, help us, Father, to know and to draw more close to you and to worship you, O Father. Minister unto our hearts and we may minister unto you, O Father. Father, open our eyes of understanding. Anoint me afresh, O Father. Use it for your glory. I may decrease and you may increase, O Father. Your name may be glorified. Father, we bring all the powers of darkness under thy control and we bring our wandering thoughts into your Father, captivity. In Jesus Christ, heavenly and most exalted name, we pray. Amen. As we enter into the season of Christmas, most of us will be buying gifts and wishing everyone a Merry Christmas. And also in the world, if you see, everywhere is full of shopping. They say that maybe in Australia itself, there will be a $4 billion of business that's going to happen during this Christmas time. They open a special website and sales and everything. But unfortunate that most people doesn't know the gift which God has given us, the eternal gift, the gift of Lord Jesus Christ. They celebrate Christmas by exchanging the gifts, which is perishes like a month or a year after some time. So, but we thank to God that He has given an eternal gift, unspeakable gift. We can't explain or describe a gift which God has given unto us. So, just I was thinking during this time, and the thought was in my heart that, yes, Christ came into this world. Yes, we are sure for that, isn't it? Is anyone not sure that Christ came into this world? The famous mathematician and from Melbourne, I think, David Williams, and other statistician from US, they have done in some probability study on like what's the probability of Jesus born in a village called Bethlehem. What's the probability? They took and all the students, they have done a scientific way of methodology of doing, and they came up like 8 prophecies fulfilling in a particular person. This prophecy is not prophecies by one person, but different persons in different ages, fulfilling in a one person, that is in Jesus Christ, is 10 to the power of 17. Do you know what is the 10 to the power of 17? Big number. Yeah, we know the big number. We know that terabytes, megabytes, zettabyte, exetabytes, but it's beyond that. So if you imagine what's the probability, he gives an example. He says that if you take an for us, it's a 50 cents coin. And if you fill a state of Texas with the coins, it will fill like 2 feet high. 2 feet high. Okay, and you mark a coin. Out of all those coins, you mark a coin in a black color, some color, and you throw randomly, and you blindfold a person and ask him to pick one. If you pick one right one, like out of that entire state of Texas, you pick that particular one that's going to be a colored one out of all those coins, is thus the probability. So only 8 prophecies. But he says that in Bible, 48 prophecies were fulfilled in Christ Jesus. You know what there's going to be probability? It's 10 to the power of 157. You can't imagine. And he compares with the electrons, and he says that electrons is the smallest particle than atom. So in order to fill 1 inch of electron, if you want to count, it will take day and night, 24 hours if you count, it takes 19 million years to count that electron. And it's going to be beyond, you can't measure it. So, and he says, if we're going to consultant and a financial advisor, and if you ask an advice where I want to invest, if he tells you that there is one probability 10 to the power of 17 that's going to be error when you invest in this, are you not going to invest in that one? For sure. But it says 10 to the power of 157. There's the Christ whom we believe. So 48 prophecies which was fulfilled in Christ Jesus in different places. Now, we are sure that we believe in a God who is true God, who came down for us. So, when we go out for gospel and distribution, some people back in India, they don't know who is Jesus Christ. And, you know, how you know that Jesus was born into the world? They say that, oh, we don't know. And you say, what is the date now? It's 2014, December 21st. So, Jesus was born 2014 years back. There's the historical evidence. Yeah, but do we know why he came into this world? So we sang a lot of songs today. Like in all those songs, there is a message why he came. We sang the song like "Price is Paid." He came to pay the price, isn't it? Let's look into a few thoughts why he came into this world from the scripture portion. I was going to Gospels and Epistles to find out why he came, what he said, and I was underlying. I came up a few thoughts, so I just want to share with you. So, first thought is from Mark Gospel, second chapter. Mark Gospel, second chapter, 17th verse. Raj, can you read it for me? Can you help me in reading? Yeah.
When Jesus said it, he said unto them, "They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came to call the righteous, but I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance."
Yeah, here Jesus Christ himself is saying why he came. Healthy person doesn't need a physician or a doctor, but a sick person needs a doctor. So he's saying that I came to call sinners and the sick people. As uncle was telling about the redemption, what does it mean by redemption? We were sold, we were in the marketplace, we are up for sale. So when you put something up for sale, what you will see? You will see all the good things. There is something lacking, then you try to bargain more, isn't it? But when we take ourselves, Satan put us on for sale. Nothing good in us, isn't it? We were sick, okay? We were heartbroken. We were on the way to hellfire, and we were full with sinful life, and we were wasted our life in vain things. We put for sale. Nothing, the price, nobody is going to buy. That's why our family members hated us, because we are not useful for them, not the society, not anyone. But for that worthless thing, God paid a worthy price. He came to call the sinners and the sick people. In the Bible, we see like at the John's Gospel, at the pool of person was in paralytic state for more than 23 years. And we know that woman had the issue with the blood more than 12 years. She spent all her money. Full of sickness shows how sickful we are. And in the Mark Gospel, we say Lord Jesus Christ entered in the temple. He saw a woman was born with the Satan and he was always in a bent position, but he came and healed her. She was there in that position for 18 years. So we were in that condition, in the sick, sinful condition and sick sickness, and nobody has loved us because of our nature. He came. He came for us. Not for the righteous men or the sinful, holy persons. Yes, everyone is sinful, but few people printed that they are good and righteousness. He came to call us. And let's read Matthew, Gospel according to Matthew, 9th chapter. Matthew's Gospel, 9th chapter. But go ye and learn that meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinner to repentance. It's again confirming that he came to call the sinners. He came to call the sinners. And the second thought was, let's turn to the same book, Gospel, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20, verse 28. Yeah, chapter 20 and verse 28. Raj, can you help me in reading?
Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many.
Yeah. He is the King of Kings. The thing of like God becoming a man itself, it's beyond our understanding. And Bible says it's a mystery. And it's not an accident that he came suddenly, but it was planned before the foundations of the earth. Isn't it? And when he came, when God is sending his own son, when God is coming into this world, suppose say, I'm a child of prime minister or the king of some country. So how it will be? It will be, if I'm going to some place, there will be a lot of preparations and everything. But he came as a servant. And Philippians 2nd chapter, he says that he took the form of a servant. He took the form of servant to show us an example. He didn't came to so that we may go and minister unto him. He didn't expect, but he was here to minister unto us, to serve us through his life. Wherever he went in Acts of Apostles, he says that he healed the people and showed compassion on them. We are going through that. Last week we saw that he had compassion on the crowd. Yeah, he came to serve and paid ransom for many. Yeah, there's a redemption to redeem us. So many people doesn't understand that. And we say it's a Santa Claus and partying and many other things. They keep God aside and enjoy the Christmas. But now Lord is reminding us that he came. He came to call sinners and sick people like us so that we may get healing from him and we may be a vessel unto him to serve him and to bring praises and glory unto him. So he came as a servant to minister unto us and to pay a ransom for all of us. In Psalms it says that the price of a ransom is great, neither anyone, gold or money can't buy it. Christ is paid for our ransom. He died for us. He shed his precious blood for us. And he rose again third day. Julius Caesar is said about him was, he came, he saw, and he conquered. But what about Jesus Christ? He saw our sinful condition, sickful condition, and he came and he died so that we might become like him. So, would be like from Gospel of Luke, 19th chapter. We know this verse very well. Luke's Gospel, 19th chapter, 10th verse. These are the words of Jesus Christ when he went to Zacchaeus' place and he got saved, Zacchaeus got saved. And Pharisees was marveling, what is this? Jesus is saying himself Messiah, and he's doing friendship with and going to the places of sinful people like Zacchaeus. And he's saying that, for the Son of Man is to come to seek and save that which was lost. The Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost. What was lost? What was lost? We were lost. We were lost in this world. We were lost in our wayward life. We were away from God. And also we lost the relationship with God. He came to establish or to restore that relationship. And Word of God says that in Timothy, he is the mediator between God and us. And he paid the price and he restored that reconciliation. Let's read Colossians 1:20. Let's quickly see this one and we move to the next one. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. From 19 onwards I read, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. So in Christ Jesus, he reconciled us to God. Because of our sinful nature, because of sin, our relationship with God has been broken. So we will in no way can know God by ourselves. So God came, Jesus Christ came for us to restore that relationship, to restore us back to God. And John 10:10 says that why he came into this world. We know this verse very well, isn't it? John's Gospel verse in chapter 10, verse 10. Let's all read together. John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Why Christ came? To give us life. To give us life. It's life abundant. Abundant life. It is eternal life. No one can give. Like there is a foundation, like a charity foundation in India. They find out that children, those who are under a chronic disease, who are going to die in a month or 3 months or 6 months, they'll get those details. And they'll go to that child and ask him what you want to become a young person, when you become an young person. If they say that I want to be a police commissioner, then they will take, their foundation name is Make-A-Wish Foundation. So this is for the people, like children, those who are going to die because of cancer or some chronic diseases. Yeah. So if this is, so they will go and talk to the commissioner, say that this is the condition of person. Can you fulfill his wish by making him to sit in the chair for hour one day? Yeah, they were in a situation that they agreed, and he said he became as a commissioner one day. Like they came and saluted him, and he was joy, and he was the streak and uniform. They can fulfill that, but they can't give life. That's a good thing. Yeah, they can't give life, but Christ came. Christ came to give us life. And Ephesians chapter 2, it says that we have died in sins and trespasses. Although for the name's sake we are living, but we were died inside. We had died to God. We had died to the things of God. There was no life in us. We were on the way of eternal life and eternal hellfire. But Christ came to save us, to give his life to us. Why not we praise him and worship him? And also it's a joyful life. It's not a life of obligation and compulsion, but we enjoy every day. I committed my life to God more than 15 years back. But when I look through back to that decision, many decisions I have taken, but that's the most important. I never regret it because He has given such a joy and peace in my life. And the next one is John 3:8. We'll close soon. Two more points and we'll close it. Just I'm reminding, we know all these things. This is the season where we can know why He came so that we can worship Him in meaningful way. John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. I'll read it for you. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Why He came into this world? Not only to call the sinners and the sick people, to heal the brokenhearted, to seek and save the lost, that which was lost, and to serve and to pay ransom for many, and to give us abundant life, but to destroy the works of devil. And the verse just we read, like John 10:10, for what devil comes for? To steal and to kill. But Christ came to give us eternal life, abundant life. Yeah, we were in the same Ephesians 2nd chapter, says that we were under the bondage. We were walking according to the principalities of this world, which is nothing but devil. We belong to devil. Always he tried to destroy us, kill us, and make us to go into eternal hellfire. Yes, He has blinded our eyes of understanding that we may not see the truth in our lives. But Christ came to destroy the works of devil. He came and He shone His light, shone our light on us, so that we may see our darkness to come into the glorious light of Jesus Christ. So when we go to the Gospels, we see whenever Christ meets a person filled with the devil or spirits of devil, what they used to tell. What they used to tell all the time. You come to destroy us, Son of God, and you come to destroy us? Yeah. He's the Son of God. He came to destroy the works of devil. Means undone the things which devil has done in our lives. He brought sin into our life. He brought death into our life. He brought curse into our life. But Christ came and He brought life into our lives. He brought blessing into our life. He given us a direction. So why can't we worship Him with understanding that He came to destroy the powers of devil? And also, He came to die. He came to die. And there was a story told about a Corrie ten Boom. When she was a Corrie ten Boom, if you have known her, like she was a Corrie ten Boom. She was from Netherlands. Yeah. My pronunciation may be wrong. Yeah. She was, his family used to give shelter to the Jews during the World War II when Hitler was killing the Jews. So in that situation, her sister was killed. She was put into prison. His father was also killed. And she was telling about the story. Just neighborhood, one of his neighbor was died. But she was afraid, what is the death? And she was asking his dad, what is this death? He doesn't know how to explain her. But they were on the way to funeral. And they stopped at the traffic light. And a big truck just passed beside them. And when that big truck was passing their car, that big truck's shadow was falling on that car and just went. And he got a thought, Lord gave him a thought. And he told her, death is like a big truck. He's telling her, why not to fear? We should not fear of death. Why? Because that truck is like a death. Its shadow is going on us, if we believe in Jesus Christ. But the big truck of death is already Jesus took on himself. The death which we are going through as the children of God, it's only the shadow. So he died on our behalf. The same death, when sin entered into this world, the death came. It was a curse at that time. But Lord has took the curse of death on him, that it became a blessing for us. And scholar says that, and if we observe that while we're reading the epistles and gospel after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it never mentioned that the death of the saints as a death, but it's a sleep. Just we are sleeping. God took the death so that we are just sleeping, but we will rise one day and we will see him face to face. And the last one is 1 John 4:13. We'll close with this thought. 1 John 4:10. We'll read it all together. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. Herein is love, not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be propitiation for our sin. It's a demonstration of his love. And we know that John's Gospel 3:16, God so loved us and he gave his only begotten Son. So it's a demonstration of his love. One person asked, he was in the Himalayas and meditating the word of God. He met other person, can you define God? He said that if you define God and define love, he says that, do you know Jesus? Yes. Yes. That's the definition of love. That's the demonstration of love. So love, God's love came down in the form of Jesus Christ. And he came down for you and me. And he died for us. And he rose again. And good, and the hope for is, he is going to come back again to take us with him. And he's preparing a place for us. That's the few thoughts why God came into this world. If you meditate in the Bible, you get a lot of thoughts about why he came. It's full of like, he came for basic thing is for you and me. If I'm only the sinner in this world, if everyone is holy, still, God would have came down for me and would have died for me to save me. There was a story told about a young couple. They were friends for a long time in the school and the college, and later they settled and they got married. They loved each other very much, and they got the kids and they settled down in a place. After having a couple of kids, and she was busy with the household work, and she thought about, is my husband loves me? That thought entered into her heart, and suddenly, and she stopped washing the dishes, and she took the children and left at her in-laws' place, and she went. Nobody. She didn't mention where she was going, and where she was going, and when she is going to come. When husband came, no one was there. When husband came, no one was there at their place, and he went to his parents' place. Children were there, but his wife was there. There he waited till evening, but didn't turn up. So he asked, checked with her friends, colleagues, everyone. There was no clue. He was more worried and he gave a complaint to the police also, but no use. But after a few months, he got a call from her just asking, how is the kids? How is the kids? So he told, they are doing good. When started saying, where are you? She used to hang the phone. It happened for 6 or more months. Then he thought, and with the help of his parents and what he have saved, he went to a detective agency to track where these calls are coming from. So it went back to an island place in a distant island from an hotel room. So he gathered the money, whatever the savings he has, and he took the help of his friends and family, and he bought a ticket to that island, and he went to that hotel. And he asked where she's living with this name, and he got the room number. He went and knocked the door. And when she opened, to her surprise, husband was there. He said that, come home. He asked. Without speaking any word, she went along with him and started staying again back with him. But he had a thought in his mind, always lingering in his mind, why she came back with me without asking any question. And after some months, he asked her, why you came without asking any questions? He said that, you came for me. You came for me, that shows your love. In the same way, God had just didn't say that, I love you, but he came for us. He came for us, for you and me, to save us from our sickness, from our sinful life, to give us abundant life, and to save us from the death, to give an eternal life. So let's worship him with these few thoughts.